Shalom. Oh, you make me feel at home. Thank you. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's been 2 years since I have been here at St. Andrews, and it's really a privilege for me to come back to Singapore. I now live in Asia. I live in the Philippines, and salamat po. And it's not very far away. And when Pastor June spoke and said, "Could you come?" and I said, "I would be delighted." And this is a very special time of the year as we prepare. Now, as a Jew, I'm preparing for two things because I'm a believing Jew. I'm preparing for the Jesus when he went to the cross, but I'm also preparing for Passover. And this is something I am commanded to do by Torah in the first five books of the Bible. As a Jewish father, I have to teach my children, my grandchildren, and maybe one day, it might be great-grandchildren, all about Passover and how God delivered us and brought us out of the land of Egypt. And the interesting thing is this year, on the 19th of April, on Good Friday, is also the beginning of Passover. So at the same time, in the afternoon of this April the 19th, the Jewish people will be celebrating their Passover exactly at the time when Yeshua, or Jesus, went to the cross. And I don't know about you, but I am so happy that we have a God who makes covenant with us, and he made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's still keeping that covenant today. And that should rejoice your heart. Because if God ever fails the Jewish people, what hope do you have? You have absolutely no hope if God doesn't keep the covenants that he made with the Jewish people. But he is. And one of the great things of the end times that the Bible speaks about is what Pastor June talked about. It's called Aliyah. It is the return of the Jewish people home to Israel. And that's a great passion of mine because I've been working in this for 44 years. Now, usually in Asia, the first question that is asked of me is, "What is your age?" Well, I will tell you that, let's see, I think my age is about 32 Celsius. Now you can figure it out. In a few weeks, I will be 80 years old. According to the Chinese, I'll be 81. But anyway, that's in how they figure it. And I've had this wonderful walk with him. But I didn't always know him. And I was a student at a university in the United States in 1957. I was 18 years old, and I'm at my desk, I'm studying, and somebody came into my room, began to speak to me. And I turned to look, who's talking to me? I could see nobody, but I heard his voice exactly as you can hear my voice right now. And it was quite an earth-shaking event for my life. I said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And then he revealed himself to me. He said, "I am the son of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My name is Yeshua. And I said, if this is true, if you change my life, I promise you I will serve you all the days of my life. You see, I was a sinner and very good at it. I don't know about you, but I'm sorry to say, I was very good at sinning. And then he comes into my life, totally, radically changes my life. I've been on fire for him ever since. And in the last 24 months, I've been in 16 nations. I still travel, and we're helping Jewish people to go home to Israel. And so it's a thrilling thing. But here we are. We read in the scriptures this morning, it was read out of the fourth chapter of Hebrews, that this one, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every single way that you and I are tempted, but without sin. He made the way for us to come to our Heavenly Father. There's no other way. Hello. And there is no other way that it can happen that we have any salvation out from Yeshua and Jesus. By no other name can man be saved. And it's interesting that if we took the time and we had the time to look in Hebrews chapter 4, in those scriptures twice was read, let us. 12 times in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said, let us. And if you want to have a nice little Bible study, just go through the book of Hebrews and find each one of the let us. Didn't say let me, said let us. Sometimes God deals corporately together with us, and that these things that he is going to do, we're going to do corporately. And so when it says, let us boldly go to the throne of grace, he is wanting us, because of the shed blood of his son, of Jesus, that has cleansed us from our sin, to bring us into his presence corporately together so that he can. You see, when he took us out of Egypt, he took us corporately out of Egypt. He didn't just take, well, one Jewish person or one family or only Moses and his relatives or what. No, he brought the whole group together. And so God deals that way with us. But so he's tempted in every way, but without sin. And then we read from Luke chapter 3 and 4, and I'd like to just speak for a short time. I'm told it's got to be a short time, and that, you know, sometimes I'm not so short. But anyway, we'll do that. And now, we read in the third chapter of Luke that Jesus was baptized, and when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And so he says, you are my beloved son. Well, the story doesn't end there. Immediately after this, we read in chapter 4, and verse 1 says, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I began to understand this one day, I said, oh, wait a minute, Lord, your Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. What happened to him there? Well, we read of where he was being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. So he had been 40 days without food. And your flesh gets hungry if you haven't eaten for 40 days. I'm sure you found that out. And so the devil comes to him. Now, it is God, by his Holy Spirit, who put him in this place. Because he's going to prove his son. You see, verse 1 said, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we look down at verse 14, then it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a great difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that from chapter 3. Holy Spirit came on him in the form of a dove. But he's going to return in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened from being filled to walking in the power of the Spirit? Well, the verses in between, which are the three temptations that are representative of every temptation that is going to come against us. And Jesus passed the examination. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, many are called, but few are chosen. Let me tell you what that means in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it means this: many are called, but few pass the examination. I don't know if you noticed or not, but after you received Jesus and he came into your life, then some testings and trials came. It wasn't a, woo-hoo, here comes the rapture train, and hallelujah, we're all going to go home, and happy clappy, no problems. That's not been my walk with God, believe me. It has been times that have been very, very difficult. One day, I'm in the back seat of a Russian police car. This is back in 1977. The Soviet Union was the Soviet Union. I was there contacting Jewish people, telling them, get ready. God is going to take you out of Russia, out of the so-called republics of the Soviet Union, and is going to take you home to Israel. And I've ended up in the back seat of a Russian police car. And I said, Lord, you never told me this was going to happen to me when I decided to walk with you and to follow you. And I'm told by the man who couldn't speak English and I couldn't speak Russian. And he said, he had a little pamphlet, put it in English, and said there, because of the grave offense you have committed, you're hereby and being arrested and taken to jail. I didn't even know why. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to go to jail. But I had a friend who said to me some years before that, and he said, you know, God has given you a very powerful weapon. I said, really? Well, what's that weapon? He said, it's called joy. And you're going to find God will use joy in your life, that it will be greater than a nuclear bomb that will blow the whole situation away, and you'll be delivered out of the problem you're in. So here I'm in the back seat of this Russian police car, told I'm going to jail, And an officer gets into the car sitting there, and he saw an American passport. He turned around and spoke to me in English. I thought, well, at least I got somebody to communicate with. And then he told me a joke, and I laughed. So I said, I think the man under you here is telling me I'm going to be taken to jail. He says, really? So he talks to him. Yeah, he turns back to me. You're right. You're going to jail. I said, well, but what have I done? And at that moment, God showed me a picture. When I saw this picture in the spirit, I began to laugh. And I was laughing and I got a holy laughter. And this officer, he gets so angry. He says, do you understand the seriousness of what's happening? You're going to jail. You'll never see your family ever again. And you just forget everything. You're going to jail. I says, look, I have news for you. It'll save you Russians an awful lot of money if you release me right now. Otherwise, after the earthquake, you're going to have to rebuild your prison. He looked at me and said, what? See, the picture God showed me was when Paul was in prison and the earthquake came, shook the prison, and, you know, and the guy, he started laughing. He thought I was crazy. And he hands me my passport and he says, goodbye. I said, goodbye. And I was delivered. And that joy just came as a mighty weapon. Well, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He's very hungry. The devil comes and challenges his authority. If you are the Son of God, exactly the tactic that Satan always uses, he began it in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve and challenged her, and he will try to say, who do you think you are? You think you're really somebody, and you think God is on your side, or what's, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You see, the first temptation is one of the flesh. That's the way Satan always begins, because it's the easiest way to get us off of our path and our walk with God. And so when you read in the scriptures, for instance, the Apostle Paul, he will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find lists of sins of the flesh, the Bible says. Not of the devil, but of the flesh, the things that the flesh enjoys. And so he's hungry. You know, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus, because he knew the word of God, and this is so important, our discipleship of walking with him, following him, being with him, is to learn the word of God, because when Satan comes, that you have an answer for him. You always, and Jesus quotes back the word of God to Satan and stops that temptation. And so, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It goes on in the fourth chapter of Luke. And so, you see, I had a really bad temptation of the flesh. I'd come to Jesus, and I loved him, and I was doing so many things. I mean, God did miraculous things in my business, and I was a businessman in the United States up till 1973, and then I was delivered from the curse of work, and I moved to Europe and then to Israel. But that's another story. And I had a big problem. because I saw so many miracles happening. I'll give you one little thing that happened. I had an employee that worked. My business was called the Dippy Duck Car Wash. Now, anybody who would name their business Dippy Duck, God better get a hold of them and do something with them. And he did. He got a hold of me. And then he began to do these miraculous things at my business until I had to get a 7-meter caravan and put it behind the business and turn it into a chapel because I had customers, steady group of customers, people coming, getting saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I had an employee, very tall, slender young man, and he was a medical student at the university, which was not far from my business, and he worked part-time for me. And so he came in one day, and he's got a full cast on his leg. He said, "I'm sorry, I can't work anymore for quite some time. I was playing basketball and yesterday, and I was hit, and my leg got broken in two places, and so I just want you to know." I looked at him and I said, "Now, wait a minute. You know Jesus as your Savior?" "Yes," he said, "because one thing that I did is I used my business as a way of evangelism. I'd always hire non-believers and then let them just be around and see what it's like to have the life of God. When they see the life of Jesus, and then pretty soon they say, 'Hey, there's something different about you. I want the same thing.'" And so this young man came to the Lord, and so he's not going to be able to work, he said. I said, "Sit down in the chair. I said, I'm going to pray for you." And so he sat down, and I put my hands on the cast on his broken leg. And I just prayed a very simple prayer. "Father, in the name of Jesus, heal these broken parts of his leg." When all of a sudden, he jumped up out of the chair. He said, "Did you hear the snap? Did you hear what happened? My leg, the pain's all gone. Everything is done." And he's dancing around my office, and he said, "Jesus just healed me." He said, "Let's take the cast off." I said, no, don't you do that. He said, "You go back." He goes back to the medical school at the university. And the following day, he comes back to the business. He is running across the lot. He has no cast, nothing. And he said, "I went back down, and the doctors, I convinced them, you take this cast off." They did x-rays. They did everything. There was no breaks. They had the day before and the day after, and Jesus had healed him. And I said, "Well, what did their professor say?" "Oh, they want to talk to you," he said. So I'd seen actually many multitudes of wonderful miracles. But I had a problem. It's something called pride. And when God began to do these great things, I thought I had something to do with it. After all, I'm God's man of faith and power in this great hour. And when I would go to meetings and I would hear people get up and give testimony, I said, "I got a better testimony than that man. How come I'm not the one that is sitting there or standing there and giving testimony?" I mean, pride was a very, very big problem for me. It was like I'm feeding myself on this temptation of pride. And the more I'd eat, the bigger you got with the pride. And so I'm in this conference, and a man is giving a testimony. I thought, I have a better testimony than that man. And I got so upset, I got up and I left the meeting, about 2,000 people there. And I walked out and I went and got on an elevator, there was a lady, elderly lady in the elevator. And she's in there and standing back there, and she looks, and She says, "Oh, you're Stephen." I said, "Yes, yes, here I am, God's man of faith and power." And she said, "You are the most prideful man I've ever seen in my life. Now, I told you, and I ask you to forgive me." And I, all of a sudden, I thought, is that what I present to other people? Is pride and doing things my own way, thinking I am the great one that is, anything that's going to happen. And so I get off the elevator, I'm crying, and my best friend is standing there, and he says, "Steve, what's the matter? What happened?" I says, "This little old lady that was there in the elevator said I was the most prideful man she had ever seen." He looks at me and said, "Thank God somebody finally told you." And it was something that I had to realize I had to bring to Jesus. See, Jesus passed through the temptations without sin. And he made the way for us to do it too. Sometimes we see somebody, I mean, by God's grace, I've seen God. I'm the witness. I'm only the witness to see what God has done. And by his grace, he's allowed me to be the witness to watch these things come to pass. God always has a witness for what he's going to do. And when he gives us that opportunity, we realize it's only him. We had nothing to do with it. Well, then we have the next temptation. So the first one is a fleshly temptation. And then if we move past that, then Satan is back there again, and he comes. And then in verse 5 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I can give it to whomsoever I will.'" And so now he's coming with a stronger temptation, one that is going to deal with our will, our emotions, and our mind, and the things that he's going to do. And you see, in 1974, I was living in a city in Germany called Braunschweig. Another man went to the city of Braunschweig before I did, and his name was Oileus Schnickelgruber. And it's a true story. And he was not a German. He wanted to become a citizen of Germany. And no Jew ever wants to go to this city because of this man. He was a horrible man. And because of that, nobody wants to go to Braunschweig. And that's where God had me move my family to, my wife and my two daughters. When we're there and we find out, you see, the man was granted the possibility to become a citizen of Germany, and he changed his name to Adolf Hitler. Now you understand why, as a Jewish person, I never wanted to go there. But that's where God said, "I want you to go." And I saw God do some mighty things. In August of 1974, to make a very long story short, God, by his grace, allowed me to see a vision. In this vision, I saw the destruction of the Soviet Union, and I saw the Jewish people there were delivered and came by ships and airplanes out of the Soviet Union and went home to Israel. And I said, "Well, God, that's great. What's it got to do with me?" He says, "You go to the Jewish communities in the Soviet Union. You tell them what you've seen. I'm going to deliver them with an exodus." Exactly as I did out of Egypt at the time of Moses and Pharaoh. And I thought, okay, this ought to be interesting. And so for 25 years, that was what I did until the Soviet Union came down. Then, by God's grace, God let me write a book. It became a bestseller long before this ever happened. In fact, it was in 1983. Soviet Union came down, 1990. And in this book, I told about what was going to happen. Many people thought I fell out of a tree, landed on my head, it would never happen. Well, you and I are living past that, and we know, oh yes, it did happen. And today, we have more than 1.4 million Jewish people, Russian speaking, from the former Soviet Union, live in Israel, when prior to 1990, that was not possible. So God is keeping his word because he promises certain things. The day, then I was invited to go to the parliament, the Knesset of Israel, and to meet with my partner. I had a friend, his name is Gustav. He and I, we went, and we were given permission by the Israeli government to begin a shipping line and to charter airplanes to bring the Jewish people home. And the only problem was, number one, we had no money. Number two, we didn't have a ship. But we had begun to prepare for this because of many things that happened, how God led us. But we didn't know how it was going to be. But one thing I learned a long time ago, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And so God is going to provide when he tells you, you know, to do something, he will provide the finances. Well, have you ever taken 180,000 people to breakfast? That's what we were challenged to do. But not only breakfast, we had to give them lunch and dinner, get ships and airplanes, have safe houses, and bring and move a multitude of people home to Israel. Well, a man, the day that the Israeli government gave us the permission to do this, a man was in Jerusalem that knew about it, and he comes to me and he said, "How much money do you need?" I had nothing. I mean nothing. We had capitalized our company on $2 US. That's all we had, my friend and I. And we're going to move tens of thousands of people? I mean, it's like, you know, that's crazy. But this man, he said, "Do you need $100 million? You tell me. I'll give you a check. You fill the amount in. The only thing is," now here we are at a place, you talk about a temptation, just been given permission by the government to move all these Jewish people, had no money to do it, and somebody comes up and says, "You need $100 million? Ooh. Immediately I understood, that is a temptation from the devil. And we said, absolutely no. And it's a very long story, but God has provided, and we're still moving multitudes of Jewish people home to Israel, and it's a tremendous blessing. And so there are different kinds of temptations. But then we have the third one that is spoken of, and in verse 9 of Luke 4, it says, Satan, he took Jesus and brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, and the angels will pick you up." Well, this is a spiritual temptation. That's a far greater temptation than one of the flesh. You pass through the flesh, get ready. You're going to have one of the soul. Then you're going to have a temptation, if you pass through that, of a spiritual temptation, and it is very great. Because one thing that God showed me about this vision, the return of the Jewish people to Israel, that That is a forerunner of the second coming of the Messiah. That's Jeremiah 23. It has the release of end time evangelism, Ezekiel chapter 36. It has to do with the salvation of the Jewish people. Many scriptures in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel that talk about that. God is going to meet with the children of Israel after he brings them back home in Israel and make a new covenant with them. Now, I know all this. This, the work that I'm involved in, is much greater than Jewish people going home to Israel. That's just the, to me, it's the smallest part. I'm cooperating together with my Heavenly Father for the second coming of his Son, Yeshua. And according to the Bible, the Jewish people have to go home. That's why I'm, Lord, let's get them home. But salvation of the nations, also the final end time release has to do, and I could give you some mighty examples, but we don't have the time. And so I received this vision, and the Lord says, now you can't tell anybody about this in the West, only the Jewish people in the Soviet Union. For 6.5 years, I couldn't tell anybody. I got some of the greatest news. If you're looking for the second coming, if you're looking for evangelism to be exploded worldwide, if you're looking and all these things and everything, boy, I know what it is. And God says, you keep your mouth shut. My wife said, the greatest miracle of the Old Testament was 600,000 Jewish men walking 13 times around the walls of Jericho and could not say one single word. She said, that is a miracle. And maybe you can understand. Because it is the work of God's kingdom that's going on. I share these things with you because it is the temptations of the devil that tries to stop us, to thwart us from being on exactly the walk that God has for us that can affect the course of history of nations. We're not just some little thing that is, no, but we become the witnesses of what God is doing. And as we see him move, we know it's him alone, but I get to see it. And I'm like a little boy walking with his Abba, with his daddy, as he's doing these great things. Hallelujah. If temptation comes, recognize where you are and allow Jesus to give you the power that when you come through that, that you walk from then on in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Abba, B'Shem Yeshua. In your name, Yeshua, in your name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of all things, I ask you to seal your word within our hearts. The Lord, that we can let this resonate within us. That we're not going to be tricked by Satan when he comes to try to tempt us, to get us off of the things that God wants us to do, but we would keep our nose in the book. We would learn the word of God, and we would be able to answer everything that Satan throws with the scripture and the word of God, exactly as Jesus did, so that we can fulfill every single step that you have prepared for us to walk in, and that we would miss nothing. That nothing would be aborted, but that your purpose, your plan would come to pass. Your kingdom would be established. We thank you, Father, for including us in being part of what you're doing. In your name, Yeshua, I ask this. Everybody said, amen. Oh, thank you. Can I bless him?
Brother Steve would like to do something special now. He would like to bless you in Hebrew. I believe it's the word straight from the Bible. Receive this blessing, please.
Amen. Can I ask you to stand, please? In Numbers, in the Torah, chapter 6, beginning at verse 22, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Singapore. Say to them, Yevarecha Adonai v'mishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'chunecha, Yaseh Adonai panav alecha, Yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord shine his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen.